The following is a presentation of Edgewood Reformed Baptist Church, West Monroe, Louisiana.
If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read the first part of verse 22, which simply says this: the fruit of the Spirit is love. Paul gives us ascending list. What I mean by ascending list. He begins at the most elemental part of the fruit of the Spirit, and he is moving to an ever-increasing list, greater levels of spiritual fruit. Okay? So, if you can imagine love being the most basic building block, being the simplest, moving upwards to, at the end of that list in verse 23, is self-control, being the more mature expression, if you will, of spiritual fruits. And I want us over these next several weeks to be looking at all these spiritual fruits, and so we have to start with where Paul started, and that is love. The fruit of the Spirit begins with love. There's two things really quick I want us to see about that. The first thing is that love is easily seen. I think that's why Paul started with love. Because love is easily seen. It's not an intangible. It's not something that we keep within ourselves and it is expressed to other people. As a matter of fact, Jesus in Matthew 7 kind of put it this way about fruit. He said, you'll recognize them by their fruits, to my people. And he asked this question: are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Well, of course not. They're not. Grapes come off of grapevines. So a grape produces that kind of fruit. It's easy to see. Love is easily seen. Would you agree with that? We know when we're acting in a loving way. Conversely, we know when we're not acting in a loving way. Right? So the basic first spiritual fruit of love is that starting point, because it's easily seen. Not only that, but love has been modeled for us. There is no doubt what biblical love is. We have teachings in the Scriptures that are clear about what biblical love is. We have it modeled in the person of Jesus Christ, what biblical love is. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love. And then he goes on to describe what that is. As Christ loved you and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. See, Christ gave his life for us. He went to the cross for us. He demonstrated what that unconditional, loyal love is really all about. That's biblical love. Unconditional loyalty. It's not a chemistry. It's not eroticism. It's not all the other stuff that the world has tried to tag onto. It is probably the easiest way to describe it is unconditional loyalty. That's what love is, a commitment to one another. John in John 13, the Lord himself said this: a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I've loved you. You also are to love one another. So he emphasizes love one another, because he says, love one another just as I loved you, also love one another. So it's pretty clear what his point is, that we ought to love one another the way that he's loved us. But he goes on to say in verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples. How? If you have love for one another. See, Jesus taught it, he modeled it, he lived it, he gave us the example. And this is not a doctrine that, you know, we have to go to the original language and parse the verbs and define the nouns and look at the grammar, and it's not hidden. It's pretty straightforward enough for everybody to see. And most people don't argue over what Jesus meant when he said that. So he showed us, he modeled it for us. And then finally, in our time tonight, perhaps the most important thing in relation to this list of spiritual fruit is that the other fruit is meaningless without love. If we can't get this first basic building block right, nothing else matters. In our list in Galatians 5:22, if we don't have love, we don't have real joy. We don't have love, we don't have real peace. If we don't have love, there's no way we can be patient. We can't be kind. There's no goodness. There's no way to be faithful. We can't be gentle. And we won't have self-control. If we can't get love right, there's no need going any further. In Romans 5, the Apostle Paul says this, and it demonstrates what this idea of if we don't get the love part right, then nothing else matters. Paul's talking about God and what He's done for us, and he says in verse 5, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this idea of love, it's easy to love the lovely, isn't it? Sure is. It's easy to love the popular and the pretty and the folks that are easy to get along with. It's not really easy to love the unlovable. It's not easy to love the folks that just get under your skin. And we all have them. But the point is that if we look at our relationship with God before we came to know Him, we were that unlovely, arrogant, under His skin kind of person. And God still loved us. Right? And I'm thankful that He did. And so He set an example of what it means to love before we do anything else. Let me go on and illustrate what I mean by a couple of verses. In Romans 8:32, Paul said, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? What Paul is saying here in Romans 8, verse 32, is that God's love for us was so complete, was so comprehensive that He didn't hold anything back. The greatest expression of God's love for mankind was His Son. And we can identify with that, right? With our kids. Our kids are very important to us. And we wouldn't sacrifice them for anything, more than likely. You know, there are days when they're dead and you say, well, you know, but I don't call that dead. You know, at the very core of who we are, we love our kids and we'll protect them and do everything we can to shelter them and give them the best life possible and all the opportunities. How much less did Christ mean to God? God had the same love, the same concern, I believe, for Christ as His Son. And so there's an emotional part of that, but there's also a loyalty part of that where God's love for us was greater than His love for His Son. And I know that sounds awkward, but the point is that God didn't hold anything back. God was willing to give up everything. And this idea of love that we're talking about in Galatians 5 really means that we're willing to give up whatever for each other. That's what it's talking about. That unconditional loyalty means that we put other people first before ourselves. And that is in every area of our life. That's in not only our opening the door for one another and letting them go ahead of us, but that's even in our attitudes and our thoughts and the things that are very meaningful to us. You know, instead of trying to win arguments or be right or be top dog or whatever, we need to be considerate and thinking of other people. For their sake, yes. But more importantly, for the body's sake, for unity within this body. And then finally tonight, probably perhaps the greatest example out of Scripture of what this idea of giving of oneself in love means, and this idea that if we don't get love right, nothing else matters, is found in 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. In that great chapter where Paul is talking about love, and at the end of that discourse he says, the greatest of these is love. And we know that passage because it says love is patient, love is kind, Love doesn't seek its own, but it rejoices in the truth. It doesn't try to get its own way. Y'all know that passage, right? Well, at the beginning of all of that, Paul talks about this idea of love. He says this in the first three verses. He says, if I speak in the tongue of men and angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. See, Paul understood this idea that in the fruit of the Spirit, this ascending list that we're talking about, in that point and in the expression of that in his daily life, that if he did not do what he did out of love, then it was weakness. Can we be patient with one another? Maybe for a little while. Not in the long term. Without love, can't do it. Can we express goodness and kindness to one another without love? Perhaps in a legalistic way, where we do it because we have to, we're under obligation, which becomes doing things under duress, which causes grumbling, and then the joy is out the window, the peace is out the window. Can we have self-control if we don't have love? No. Because it's the heart and the mind that, out of love, restricts what it wants to do and may be perfectly within its rights to do. It's love that is a restrainer of whatever that might be. The action, the word, hopefully the thought as we grow in maturity. That we understand that the fruit of the Spirit brings unity within the body. And if we're unified, if we are truly unified as God's people, with Christ at the head, following His lead, living life as He's described it in His Word, if we do that, then I believe there is not a single solitary thing that God can't do in and through us. We can see miraculous things, but it begins with love. Father, we thank You so very much for this day, for Your Word. We thank You for this time that You've given to us to come and to share our requests, to pray for one another, to seek Your face. And Father, we thank You for love. Father, I thank You that while we were still helpless, while we were Your enemies, we were in enmity with You, Father, we couldn't give two hoots about You. You still love us. And You express that love by giving Your only Son, who was perfect, without sin, who was kind, gentle, loving, peace, patient, who knew how to hold to the righteous standard that You had laid down, that perfect person. He died for us, all because You loved us. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this place tonight, that we consider these words, Your words, Father, that You would move within our hearts to act, to speak, to think out of genuine, committed, loyal love. And Father, I know that as we travel this road together, that there will come times when there are offenses, when there are hurt feelings, when there are sharp words, when we speak not in love, but out of the deeds of our flesh. For in those times, in this body, I pray, Lord, that in love we would gently and lovingly rebuke and correct, that we would confront with the idea of change, Lord, out of concern, that we would be willing to hold each other accountable, all with the idea of love. I pray, Father, that in those instances that there not be any personal agendas, there would not be any pride, there not be any wanting to win arguments or stand as the tallest on the hill, that, Father, in submission to you, we would put unity in this body ahead of our own desires. And again, Father, we do it out of love. And in these actions, these thoughts, and our words centered on you, Father, I know, according to your word, that we will bring honor and glory upon honor and glory to your name. And that in doing that, you will make us witnesses to a world that seeks all that we have discovered in you. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we ask all these things in your name.